This is your tech news briefing for Thursday, May 21st. I'm Kateri Yoakum for The Wall Street Journal. Facebook recently announced a $6 billion investment in the Indian tech and telecom giant Jio Platforms. The move is, of course, strategic. Facebook is hoping it can use new relationships to get closer to hundreds of millions of potential customers. Our reporter, Nuli Purnell, will join us to explain what Facebook is up to and how successful they might be after these headlines. Apple and Google have released technology to help governments track the spread of the coronavirus through apps. Several states and more than 22 countries now have access to the protocols, so developers in those places can use them to build their own apps. Here's how it works. When two people get close to each other, their phones will exchange digital codes through a Bluetooth signal. If one of them comes down with COVID-19, it'll let the other one know that they should get tested. But there are a couple of catches. One, for the apps to work, lots of people have to opt in. And two, users can choose whether to share their diagnosis with public health officials or not. Officials don't get the information automatically. The release comes as researchers in Europe are debating the trade-offs between centralized public health information and Google and Apple's technology, which emphasizes user privacy. If you'd like a deeper dive, we broke down that debate in yesterday's episode. Contact tracing software isn't the only thing Apple shipped yesterday. Its iOS 13.5 is also available and ready to install. Of course, the new software has been updated to support those contact tracing apps we just mentioned, but it also addresses several other pandemic-related issues. For instance, Face ID. It should now detect when you're wearing a protective mask and direct you to manually input your passcode faster. Plus, you'll be able to toggle your FaceTime settings so that in group calls, everyone's bubble stays the same size the whole time, rather than resizing to make whoever's speaking larger. And an organization of corporate tech executives plans to propose standards later this month for how cloud companies communicate security and governance information. It's information that cloud customers need in order to protect their own systems and comply with government regulations. Our deputy cybersecurity editor, Kim Nash, says there are a few reasons these companies are pushing for the change.
Amazon, Microsoft, IBM, Google, they all have different technologies and processes for securing their cloud computing infrastructures and for securing their customer data. They also have different processes and technologies for telling their customers how they're securing their data. So this means that they are putting a lot of onus on the customer to take in all the disparate information and make sense of it on their own. It's a lot of work for customers. One company told me that they have up to 25 people dedicated to this task at any one time to take in all the different pieces of information they get from the multiple cloud companies that they do business with and put it into one format that their company can understand. It's a lot of work.
Kim says that by banding together, big customers are hoping to push the cloud companies to make changes.
The incentive to the cloud companies to cooperate is that anything that makes life easier for large companies to use cloud services means the large companies will buy more cloud services so that the pie of the market expands. However, Amazon, Google, IBM, Microsoft, they're not known for cooperating with each other. So who can say whether that incentive, that collective buying power from Cigna, FedEx, Raytheon, and others will play out as these companies imagine?
After the break, Facebook is setting its sights on e-commerce and on India. That's next. As Facebook pushes into e-commerce, the country of India represents a gigantic opportunity. India has a population of more than a billion people, about half of whom are online. Last month, Facebook acquired a nearly 10% stake in India's Jio Platforms, a tech and telecom giant there. The new partnership brings Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg closer to India's richest man, Mukesh Ambani. And together, they could shape the way India shops online. Here to tell us more about it is our reporter, Nuli Purnell, joining us from Hong Kong. Nuli, thank you so much for staying up late with us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So, Mukesh Ambani, Who is this guy, and what can you tell us about his relationship with Zuckerberg?
Well, Mukesh Ambani is India's richest man. He inherited a gigantic conglomerate from his father in 2002, and they have interest in oil and gas, retail, all sorts of things, and he has pivoted in the last few years to try to expand into new kinds of digital offerings. His relationship with Mark Zuckerberg, it's pretty unclear, how close they are or what kind of relationship they have, but a remarkable big investment from Facebook into this Indian billionaire and a new kind of digital company that he's trying to forge in this huge developing market.
So Facebook invested nearly $6 billion in Jio last month, which is a subsidiary of Ambani's company Reliance. But before that was announced, Reliance had also been in talks with Google. Why did they go with Facebook?
People we've talked to said that they shared a common vision. So in Mukesh Ambani, he wants to, he says, connect all these hundreds of millions of people in India who are still offline. He's talked a lot about that in recent years. And Facebook has said they recognized in him and his company a great avenue to achieve also their goal. They say they want to help people get online. They want to help small businesses get online. And it comes as Reliance is making this push into e-commerce, which is a brand new area for Facebook, and it seemed like there was a lot of overlapping interest there in tapping this huge new pool of new users.
We mentioned that India's emerging market is a huge draw for tech companies. What exactly do Facebook and Jio, or Facebook and Reliance, plan to do together?
Well, the first description of how they might collaborate came when they announced the deal. And what they talked about is a way that in many of the WhatsApp users in India, it's WhatsApp's biggest market. There are 400 million users there. Virtually everyone who's online in India is on WhatsApp. And the two have talked about people being able to use WhatsApp to order groceries from small mom and pop shops in little neighborhoods. So as opposed to in some places where you might have big box stores or grocery stores, people will go. In India, oftentimes people are shopping from these much smaller places in their neighborhoods. And so they've talked about a collaboration where people would be able to take to WhatsApp, connect with their mom and pop shops in their areas, and then get the goods delivered to them or pick them up and pay in cash. So you've got this huge platform with hundreds of millions of users, and then this effort where Reliance is pushing into connecting these small mom and pop shops to enable them to deliver groceries to people.
And of course, Facebook owns WhatsApp, which has more than 400 million users in India. So, of course, that's a huge thing that they're bringing to the table in this partnership. But haven't other companies tried to do the same thing in India and not had such great luck at it?
Well, notably, Amazon has said they're spending $5 billion in India. Walmart bought Flipkart for $16 billion not long ago. And so they're pouring in vast sums. They both have the same goal, which is they assume that as more people get online, they'll shop online, not just in these small shops. But they're taking a different approach. They're becoming a one-stop destination, a website or an app where people could go to get this stuff from different sellers. And Mr. Ambani and Reliance are taking a different tack. They're saying, we already have these millions of tiny little shops. How can we connect them onto our platform and then sell goods through them? They have a retail arm where they can supply them with stuff. And they eventually, analysts say, maybe want to take a cut of that, of this massive sale. So they're sort of weaponizing this huge network of unorganized retail in India, as opposed to taking the kind of centralized vision.
Yeah, I mean, Amazon really got a lot of pushback, not just from local traders. There were protests, but the government was also trying to step in and regulate this. What has their reception been to this new idea from Facebook?
We haven't heard much yet, but that's an important point, which is that India has been increasingly nationalistic and has been getting tougher on these big U.S. tech firms that have really come to sort of dominate, e-commerce or online advertising. They've started to increase regulations, to enforce regulations that maybe weren't enforced before. And so, what many people have pointed out is that rather than try to go it on their own and say, we, Facebook, are going to get into e-commerce, they have now partnered with India's richest man, who's a celebrity in India, who has this vast conglomerate with thousands of employees, and they're able to sort of piggyback on what he's already done. So it's probably a good strategic move if you don't need to have your own standalone sort of storefront, to partner with somebody who's already there and already has this huge established base and operations in India.
Now, we should note that this foray into e-commerce is new for Facebook. And in the U.S., many of the grocery and food delivery companies are operating on really slim margins. How do they plan to do this in India?
Well, they haven't talked too much, Facebook, about, you know, how they would monetize. At this point, they're just saying it's early stages of the deal. But analysts all over the world have pointed out that, you know, Facebook does want to move away from its reliance on digital advertising. Of course, they're obviously massively successful at that. But as more developed markets become mature and everybody who's online is already on one of these platforms, they've really looked to places like India, where you have these vast sums of people who are not yet online. So we don't really know, but they're also working on WhatsApp wants to roll out their own digital payments feature, which would possibly at some point maybe be able to be monetized. But right now it's a little too soon to say. They're kind of just trying to get the partnership in place. And then I'm sure there will be more to come along these lines.
Our reporter, Nuli Purnell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Before we go, we are still taking your work-from-home tech stories and questions. Our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern, will be back with us tomorrow to share her best tips and solutions of the week. Call us. Leave us a voice message at the number in the description. Or you can email Joanna at joanna.stern@wsja.com. And that was your Tech News Briefing. I'm Kateri Yoakum from The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.